Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
And a good Thursday, everybody. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Hope you're having a wonderful start to your day. To this point, we're live at Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel, our home away from home. Always enjoy being here. Got a nice crowd on hand that's now looking at us like, what is this?
Yeah.
Who is talking
to me?
We
didn't pay for this.
Joe's going to be singing some Travis Tritt covers during the break.
So starting at 12:12, so please. And I'll play my song that I play goes to whoever tips the most. So
okay,
if you tip me $2, you're going to hear Put Some Drive in Your Country.
Very nice. Excited to be here today. We got a packed show. We're going to cover a lot of ground with some cool events that are coming to our city. You know, we are hyper-local here on the Chase and Big Joe show. So we're going to talk some rugby that's going on this weekend, some boxing that's going on this weekend. Oh, by the way, some Titans draft because Mike Borgonzi spoke today, and some hockey. Because the Predators will put a bow on their season tonight at Bridgestone Arena. So there is a lot going on around America's music city, America's sports city.
Yeah, there is. There's a great scene in the movie Contact with Jodie Foster. I don't know if you ever saw it where she goes back through time and everything. And then she says, hey, did you see anything that happened? Like, nothing got recorded. You know, there was nothing there when you went through the portal. And at the very end, they're like, yeah, we got 28 minutes of static, of nothing, but recorded for 28 minutes. That's what I got from Mike Borgonzi's press conference today. 28 minutes of almost nothing, but he did give us one nice little nugget on Reuben Bain and what was going on. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, we'll play that in just a second. I will say, and I mean, look, I think this is an art of being a front office guy, of being a general manager, not just in the National Football League, but anywhere, and that is you can say a lot without saying anything at all. And he's not going to tip his hand. He opened the press conference with nice words about Dave McGinnis, Coach Mack, and his passing, and then, you know, hey, we're excited about the draft. You know, first question right off the bat was about Jeremiah Love. On if a running back with a special profile would be worth the fourth round pick. I'm going to read the answer. We'll play the answer, but I'm going to read the answer. I certainly think there's a cluster of players up there that we really like, but in particular, Jeremiah, I think he's a special player. I've talked about this at the combine before, the speed he can do, things out of the backfield as a receiver, but there's also a group of edge guys up there that are really good too. So I think we'll have some really good options there at four.
Okay.
I like the player, but I'm not going to tell you what we're going to do.
Right. Yeah.
Nor should he.
It's like he was reading the draft. I could have done that, Mike. Yeah. I could have come over there and read the draft profile of all these guys.
Yeah.
For free. I'd have done it for free today.
But, I mean, what do you want him to do?
So why have the press conference?
Right. Well,
if you're not going to tell me anything, why have a press conference? But it's been this way forever. They don't tell you anything, and which is fine. I understand all that. But we did get a little nugget on something that has been concerning for – people about Reuben Bain, so I thought that was interesting. I thought that, and they'll play the clip in a moment, but evidently the teams know.
That's your hint, Dr.
The teams know. According to Borgonzi, yeah. I've gathered that all the teams knew about what happened in Miami.
Yeah, you got it. Go ahead and play it.
Yeah, I mean, we've known about that information for a while. We've researched and discussed it. We've talked to Reuben multiple times. We've had multiple touch points with Reuben, and feel really good about the person. You know, people make mistakes, but we really enjoyed having him in here and discussing a lot of stuff that, you know, that had happened before, but we feel good with Reuben.
There you go.
Pretty good. I mean,
that doesn't tell me they're going to take him, but that tells me that they've had the discussions internally and
it's not a concern.
They don't seem bothered.
Yeah, it's not a concern. Again, I thought if Ruben Bain had a history of reckless driving and 6, 7, 8 tickets and just a bad guy in the community, yeah. But I know he got a ticket last year, and you know, and that unfortunate incident where somebody passed away. I get all that, and you know, but the teams know it, and they're very cognizant of it, and they've known it for a while. And so somebody leaked this out and got out, and now all the teams know. We all know about it and everything. So if Borgonzi feels good about it and says, you know, he's regretful, he's remorseful, then move on.
Well, it's not. I mean, I agree with that. It's not just Borgonzi that needs to feel good about it. Amy Adams-Strunk has to be on board.
Yep.
Whether we like that or not, I mean, she is the owner, so, like, she should be on board. There was another sequence of questions about him and Saleh, and if they disagreed on a player, would Borgonzi want to take a player, even though Saleh doesn't necessarily like him? You know, you got that one? Play it.
To those healthy disagreements that I'm sure all teams have. Is there, if there was a player that you absolutely loved that Robert did not like, would that be hard for you to draft that player knowing that he's the one that has to coach him? Or is this where you being the personnel guy and being assigned the job of building the roster versus coaching the roster would take a precedence?
Yes, you would never take a player that a coach does not want. It's happened over the years. I've seen it. I've been in the league for a long time. That's how you develop friction in the organization. You need buy-in when you're taking these players. So whether it's a position coach or it's the head coach, that's why you have so many discussions, you know, headed into the draft. And you never want to force a player onto a coach that they don't believe in.
God, that's a great answer.
Yep. I mean, look, I think that is important. That they're, you know, even if they're not necessarily on the same page on something, but that they have that agreement of like, hey, I'm not going to, if this is somebody you don't want, I'm not going to force you to coach them.
I love it. I love it.
And that's important. Because,
Because
I kind of feel like, especially when with Vrabel and Rand, that wasn't there.
Well, there's that rumor that when the Titans drafted Chris Henry in 2007, that they drafted him, and the scout, this is all rumor, and I've heard it from many different people, that they told Fisher, like, all right, we drafted him, now you coach him.
Yeah.
What? I mean, it's like, okay, I get that.
That's not how that works.
Right, and Chris Henry was an absolute disaster at a second-round pick for the Tennessee Titans in 2007.
So that would have been Mike Reinfeldt's first year, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Yep, because they took Michael Griffin first. And then they got weird with Griffin, trying to make him a corner for, like, during training camp, and he was a terrible corner. He was a great safety. But that was the thing. It's like, I like hearing that they are in cahoots. They're together. Let's build this together. House divided cannot stand. So I think I'll take that as a something relevant that came out of the presser today. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, look, there were a few little nuggets in there. That, you know, him saying it's a deep draft for interior offensive linemen, which is good. Left tackle was discussed. So I don't know. I think it's kind of interesting to look at it a week out and see what they end up doing. I heard Jake and Parker discussing before our show, you know, could they potentially go left tackle at 35? You know, knowing that they're probably going to need that position in the next year or so. I would hope not.
Yeah, right.
I think you address that when you need to address it.
As long as the left tackle is not from Alabama, I'm good. Draft any offensive lineman as long as they're not from Alabama and go forward with all that. Who knows? I mean, we discussed yesterday about Jerry moving up, Titans moving back with 12, 20, and 35. I don't like that. I think the draft is top-heavy.
I agree.
I think you're going to miss out on an amazing playmaker if you get back past maybe 8 or 9. So just stick where you are. Build who you are.
What if – this is a big what if. What if somebody calls him and says – or what if Jerry calls him and says, I'll give you 12 and 20 to take 4?
Okay.
Straight – 12 and 20 to move up to 4.
Right.
And he's keeping 35, You know, maybe you give up a fourth or something, but like you're keeping your money picks to move up for Jerry to move up to four.
Okay.
I think on the Jimmy Johnson chart, like the Titans would probably have to give a third or something. But anyway, let's say he does that. Well, then who's to say he couldn't take 12 and maybe a pick from next year and potentially move back up in the into the top 10?
Sure.
I mean, we've seen that before.
You got to have a dance partner. You got to have to move up. But I think if you get out of the 8 or 9, you're going to lose out on a guy who comes in and can get immediate play time and can wreak some havoc for your team.
Like if Jerry doesn't take Love, like if Jerry were to move up to 4 and to not take Love, which and he takes one of the pass rushers because they do need that, and all of a sudden, you know, I think the Giants would probably take him at 5 if he's there, but – you know, you could be kind of looking that, oh, Bane's still there or Love's still there or Reese or somebody and, you know, call Cleveland, call New Orleans, you know. Because the thing is, if Love got to 8, he's going to be a Saint. Like, he's going to the
right.
Saints.
Yeah, you're right.
But, you know, you could finagle some things and move back up and even use 35 if you needed to because you still have 20.
Jerry's going to take a running back. I'm telling you.
I think the
more we talk about Love and the more we say how great he's going to be, all these teams are salivating on him, and we're forgetting about the Cardinals at 3, who could also throw a huge hammer in the middle of all this and screw everything up. It's going to – remember, didn't they not lower the time from 10 minutes to 8 minutes?
They did.
All right?
They did, and he said he doesn't mind that, actually.
Good. So if you're trying to work a deal – You gotta be on that.
Well, you're working it right now.
You got to go immediately and see what you can get going. Because you come to draft night, it's like, oh, this guy fell, that guy fell. Hey, yeah, Mike, we talked about, yeah, I'll pass on that. I would be fascinated to be inside that draft room for everything that goes on next Thursday night. Fascinated.
I would love to. I mean, you know, we talk about it, the movie Draft Day is pretty bad, but like the – like, right. I think where they are correct is the amount of phone calls that are being made the morning of the draft and the GMs talking to each other and pancakes being eaten and all those things.
How many times have you seen the movie Draft Day?
Like 3 times.
I've seen about 40.
Yeah.
Every time it comes I watch it every single
time. I'm on
time.
Such a Kevin Costner kick right now that I'll definitely watch it. But.
So it's good. And that's the thing is that, you know, they have the live cams in there. My favorite moment was Vrabel storming off in 22 when they traded – God, that was 4 years ago now.
I noticed something on the Titans YouTube page. They have the, you know, last year they put up the phone call that Borgonzi made to Cam, you know, to let him know they were taking him. And from what I remember from last year, you know, he handed the phone to Amy, and then Amy handed the phone to Callahan. The Callahan part's cut out.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, okay.
But I laughed at that.
I'd cut him out too, man.
615-737-1025 is our phone and text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What is our question of the day?
Well, we don't have a lot of time to get into it today, so it's not so much a question of the day. It's what happened on this day 28 years ago in Nashville. That's the day that the tornado came right through downtown. Leveled East Nashville. We had one death here in the city over at Centennial Park. One death is one too many. But it's hard to believe that tornado was 28 years ago today, right? And it went right through downtown. It went over to Nissan Stadium and knocked a bunch of cranes down over there. And it was a day. I was just starting at Channel 2. I was out in Hermitage when all that came through and all the tornado hit, destroyed the trees out there. It was a day. The 2020 tornado was awful. It was awful. But the 1998 tornado was the first one I ever really got to be in. And that was quite scary. And it's crazy that only, again, one's too many. One person passed away. Because you go to East Nashville that afternoon, the next day, you're like, how did 100 people not die?
Yeah.
I don't understand that. But if you were here, let us know what you thought of, you know, where you were when that came through. Did you heed the warning sign? We knew something was coming. Nobody knew that was going to happen that day. What were you, 10 years old?
I was 10 years old. I was in the fourth grade. I was about to turn 11. But I was in the fourth grade. I will tell you that day, actually was very influential in my career choice.
Okay.
Because I had already kind of shown interest that I wanted to be around a microphone or a camera or something. But watching Channel 5's coverage that day when they were knocked off the air.
Yeah.
And Chris Clark at the tower with like a microphone plugged into the tower,
yeah,
essentially.
Right? Yeah.
I was like, I want to do that one day because they're making a difference.
Yeah, that's like, right.
They did whatever they needed to do to make sure people knew what was going on.
Yeah, that was a heck of a day, man. It was scary.
And
cell
then,
phones weren't working.
And then like 25 years later, it almost happened again to them.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So just that one simple question. If were you here? What do you remember about it? Where were you?
Yeah.
Again, the warnings that happened that day, because it happened fast, man. Right down Charlotte Pike, turned to downtown, down Broadway, and then took over to the river, East Nashville. And then it's almost the same path it took as the 2020 tornado. It's crazy, man.
Yep. 615-737-1025. That is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunting.com. We'll have more coming from Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel on this Thursday, 1025 The Game.
What field do you have for Arizona and the Jets, and how important is it for you to have a pre-feel, or at four, is it kind of irrelevant what they do? Are you ready for any scenario?
You know, Paul, I think we will be ready for any scenario. If you listen to everything that's out there now, though, it's a lot of smoke screen. So I think you do have to pay attention to it, right? But certainly I think that we're going to have options there at four, no matter what the team does in front of us.
This is Mike Borgonzi this morning, Titans general manager, discussing the draft. Not giving us a whole lot, but that's okay.
Yeah, we have a mutual friend, you and I do,
yep,
and who knows Mike Borgonzi really well. This guy is a very, very good football knowledge IQ guy, and says that Borgonzi knows exactly what he is doing and how to build the team. So that's part of our excitement with you and me, is that the fact that, like, they finally got a competent GM in there who knows how to build this team, who knows how to build a team in the front office together and get it done. So I think if you're a Titans fan, you hear him today, he's got a clear plan. He's not going to tell you what it is, because he probably doesn't know what it is right now with different scenarios going on. I think he's the right guy to run this football team for a long time.
I agree. I mean, I've referenced Floyd and our time together a lot this time of year. You know, that I learned that he's like, you can't say too much because you got 31 other teams that want to know your plan.
Sure.
And, you know, he's told stories about, you know, leaks and, you know, getting rid of those. And so you got to be careful. And you got to keep the circle very close. Coach Fisher's talked about it, you know, of this time of year, you got to keep it very close to the vest. Now, I do think they have the luxury, if they stick and pick at four, which right now my gut feeling is they do, that they have a chance. They have at least four guys that they are comfortable putting on this team at four and would be fine with any of them. That's the sense I get of trying to read the tea leaves and all of that. But, you know, now, is there one they'd prefer over the other? Probably.
I just think on his table, he's got, all right, the Raiders are off. But there's a card that says, well, if the Raiders somehow don't take Mendoza, what do? Right? The Jets are going to swallow up Mendoza second, right? And
yep,
when he goes, all right, what happens?
So who would the Raiders take if they didn't take Mendoza?
That's the problem. So you got to be
prepared. They'd probably take Love.
Right.
Yeah,
be prepared. Well, they already got Ashton Jeanty. I mean, they want another guy? I mean, two running backs like that?
Yeah.
Why not, right? It's Vegas. So you got to be prepared for that. And you got the Jets, right? So the Jets are going to do something. You got scenarios there. This player, I mean, so you got all these cards on. That's on one table. Then you got to go to the Cardinals table and figure out, all right, what are they going to do? Who's going to trade up with them? Could they stick and stay at three? Are they going to entertain offers? So then you got all this whole table over here. Then you got your table, which plays off of what happens at two and three with the different trades that go on. I would be, with my ADHD, I'd be fast. I'd be such a good help inside that boardroom,
yeah,
next Thursday night, figuring out who's going where and what's happening, this and that. I think it's fascinating. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Next Thursday night, we're sitting there like, what happens? What? All right, the Jets. I mean, I do not believe it's going to go 1, 2, 3, 4. I just don't. Well, I just don't think it's going to happen.
By the way, our draft coverage next Thursday night at T-Line, it'll be us and D-Mace.
Nice.
That will be the draft show.
So I love it, buddy.
We're excited about that. I'm sure one of us will have a meltdown. So,
yeah, I'm gonna. I love punching him in the side too.
Yeah. Derek. I will say this: that I don't think this has been brought up yet. You talk about lion season and smoke screens and all those things. You know what? One of the most perfect smoke screens is that nobody's brought up yet. The fact that the Tennessee Titans have like 5 running backs on their roster right now.
Oh, okay.
And I mean two. Say what you want about them, two that could be starters. I mean, Pollard is a starter. Spears, I don't think is, but he could if needed. You have those two guys plus your backups that you've signed.
Yep.
They're all on the roster right now. So the smoke screen could be, well, why would they take a running back? Even though he is, I think, a generational talent.
Handshake, pat on the back. Take care of yourself.
Yeah,
that's how three get.
Right.
That's how you run three out of there.
All right.
No, you sign. You never know. I mean, look, you sign these guys. They could be the camp arm or the camp leg. It doesn't matter. You just keep signing because you might strike. What's it costing them to get 5 running? These three extra guys. Nothing.
And look, in my opinion, if you did take Love at 4, you keep Pollard and Spears for a year because that gives you more weapons, and you're not, you know. You're not just throwing a rookie in there, too. Now, if you take Pollard at 4 and all of a sudden you got a team calling, you know, hey, I'll give you my 3rd for Pollard, then
sure.
You take it.
Yeah, I just think that they're kind of the same. I want that 3rd running back to be an absolute bruiser.
Yeah.
Not a guy who's 5'5 with no ACL.
Which that's the guy. Is that the bruiser guy? That's
Superman.
Right, but they signed the guy out of Arizona.
I don't.
Isn't he kind of a bigger?
I don't even know who that guy is.
Michael something. Adam in Portland wants to weigh in real quick. Adam, what you got?
Michael something.
Well, your 3rd running back needs to be able to make tackles on special teams. But the more I'm sitting here listening to you guys, the more I'm convinced we need to trade out. Like, I think the best teams don't get blinded by sparkly players at the top of the draft, man. Like, you find a way to get deep. Like, our team is not very deep. We got deeper during free agency, but you got to find a way to get back to like 8, 10, 12, something like that, pick up more assets. I just am not convinced the draft, even if he's a great running back, I'm not convinced he should be the pick, man. I think we need more picks.
Okay, Adam, don't hang up yet. Because I get, well, all right, I hear you. I hear you. But how many players does this team currently have on its roster that would scare another team? The answer is really one. The respect, and that's Jeffrey Simmons. You hope Cam Ward becomes that, but I do believe if you stick and pick at 4, you could get a guy that another team is going to have to show respect towards. And that's the whole reason why I say if one of the guys on your board that you believe can be a franchise changer for you is there, you take it, and then you figure the rest out later.
I don't think Love lands at 4. I think he's gone.
You may be right.
I think he's gone, and I'm going to be disappointed.
And if he's gone, then you trade back.
How far?
I think
your guys are gone. Yeah, after 8 or 9, you're done.
Okay, well, if Bane's still there, then I might consider, you know, 7, 8, somewhere in there.
Then you got to willing that the Saints or one of those will move up to get those. And
sure.
You know, if Bane's there at 5, you got – I know Abdul Carter was
there's going to be
– Bane and Abdul Carter at the ends rushing in for the Giants would be fantastic. I just don't think he's going to be there. And I'm going to say – and I know I tell you all the time, don't suffer imagined troubles, but I think Love is gone, man.
Adam in Portland did say, that's fair, Chase, but I'm just worried about this team being able to make tackles to stop people from running down their throats, and that's not a one-man job. We need a lot of players to trade back.
Yep.
That's a fair point. We will continue the draft discussion throughout the show, but coming up next, there is a big event coming to Geodis Park this weekend that we want to tell you about on Sunday, April 19th, and that is the Guinness Music City Rugby Showdown, the first ever Major League Rugby match in Tennessee will be at Geodis Park coming up this weekend. Two of the league's top teams, the Chicago Hounds and the three-time defending champion New England Free Jacks. We will talk to Jason Higgins. He's one of the players. We'll talk to him coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday. We're live at Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel. This is an event we've been excited about. We've been telling you about it, the Guinness Music City Rugby Showdown. It is the first ever Major League Rugby match in Tennessee. It's going to be at Geodis Park coming up this weekend, April 19th, featuring two of the league's top teams, the Chicago Hounds and the three-time defending champion New England Free Jacks. And to talk more about that, we decided let's bring on a player. Jason Higgins of the Chicago Hounds is with us now. Now, what position do you play?
So I play a scrum half.
Okay, what is that?
What is that?
Look, I'm just going to give you full disclosure. We don't know anything about rugby. This is a learning experience for all of us.
So the scrum half is like the link between the big guys, the forwards, so like the O-line, and the fast guys, the backs.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a playmaker.
All right.
He's a decision maker, passing, kicking.
So you're trying to get the ball to somebody that can get it.
Exactly, to move the ball around.
Yeah.
Yeah, you move the ball.
Now, the big guys are the crazy ones, right?
They're the ones who just, go hammer and tongs and carry the ball hard. smash each other, yeah.
So do you block when you pass the ball back? I'm so fascinated by you guys.
The ball can only go backwards.
Okay.
You can run forwards. And you can't block players, no. You can't. There's no blocking.
You just stand in front of them? I mean, how do you?
Well, if you get tackled.
With the ball?
With the ball, two of your guys are allowed to come in over you and smash the other two guys back. Because they're trying to get the ball too, you know. So
this is great.
It's kind of chaos, yeah.
And the ball is pretty much always live, right?
It's always live. That's the thing. The ball is always, you know, we kick it out of play, but the ball can be in play for like 5-6 minutes. Like it's tough cardiovascularly. Like
so, if someone that's going this weekend or is listening to this right now, it's like, hey, this sounds interesting, and has never seen a rugby match before in their life. What are the simple things that they need to know?
The ball can only go backwards. Well, it's like football in the sense, just without the pads, the physicality is the same. It's incredibly physical.
Like a little soccer mixed in too, I guess?
I suppose, like footwork and evasion and, like a bit of wrestling in there too. But, it's wall-to-wall entertainment, to be honest,
So you're from Ireland.
Yes.
What made you decide to play rugby?
Just growing up, my granddad played it, my dad played it. It's huge in Ireland, so you either play Gaelic football, which is like the local indigenous sport, soccer or rugby.
Yeah.
And I was better at that than the others, so I just kind of kept going. And it got me here to Nashville, which is kind of crazy, you know.
Yeah, and on this great show, too.
Yeah, of course, sorry.
Jason Higgins is with us. All right, so when you get the rugby ball, how many people you have to have a certain number of men on the line?
No, it's up to you. I mean, it's 15 on 15. So ideally, you want as many people in the defensive line as possible. And you want as many people in the attacking line, you know. But you're trying to manipulate them, move them out of position. And, I mean, if you can carry straight through them, do that.
Right.
If you're big and strong enough to blow someone up, just do that.
So you get the ball, you toss it back, and you're trying. You can still go. We get the ball, you're going to go forward, right? The whole point is
to
go forward.
You're trying to get over into, like, the end zone.
Yeah.
No, that's the whole point, to try to get into that zone.
Do you ever carry the ball?
Rarely, to be honest, rarely, but you have to, So you're trying to manipulate space and find ways to either you get them around the edge,
right,
or you go through them, or you kick over them and chase it. Like, there's quite a number of ways to advance forward.
I love this.
Yeah, like, it's quite tactical.
You ever out there and they throw you the ball, you're like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah. I just look for the big guy. There you go.
Do that.
See this crazy guy
barreling down. But there's no, like, I don't block him to give you a way around. I mean, can I stand in front of this guy?
No, you got to find your way around him, like with footwork or a pass or running lines, you know? I mean, you're trying to manipulate space out there, you know. So,
is there any type of offsides or anything in rugby?
Yeah, there is offsides. Okay. Yeah. Like, you can't be ahead of the ball. You can't forward pass. Like, obviously, that's a penalty. If you drop the ball, it's obviously a turnover to the other team. And then we have a scrum. So you know what a scrum is? Have you heard of scrum?
I've heard it. That's where you're all
trying
to...
That's like the scrimmage. That's like the O-line, D-line, like going on.
Yeah.
It's the two big guys of each team just contesting for a ball that's rolled in between them, and they just... go at it.
Can you sneak in and get the ball and take off if the big guys are all fighting each other?
I mean, technically, yeah.
If it comes rolling out.
If it comes, but then the other guys, the back line, they're, you know, pretty tuned into that, so they're kind of...
So how long, you have quarters, you have halves, what do we have here?
Two halves, 40-minute halves, two.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's similar to soccer.
Exactly, yeah. You get the 45-minute halves, yeah. But, and I mean, yeah, the ball's in play quite a bit, you know, like...
So I've seen rugby, like, college rugby, team rugby. Tell me why I need to come Sunday to see this, because you guys are the top of the top, right?
Yeah, well, it's becoming one of the biggest games in the MLR, the Hounds against the Free Jacks, because the last 2 years we've lost in the Easter Conference Finals to Boston. And they're three-time reigning champs now, which is kind of hard to say. But, yeah,
right.
They're pretty good. We're undefeated so far this season.
Now, is the Boston coach having an affair with a writer? I'm just curious. don't answer that. Dr. Crane, you got a question, buddy?
No comment.
I do have a question. Jason, when it comes to advancing the ball, you're talking about strategy. How much do you guys involve, like, the grubber kicks and bomber kicks? Because I'm a big just rugby fan in general, so I follow rugby league, rugby sevens, and a little bit of rugby union. But how much is that involved with MLR?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, like, the kicking game in rugby in the last 5 years has become more and more important because you almost don't want the ball in certain areas of the pitch. So by kicking it, giving it, you know, advancing up the pitch and hoping to enforce an error from the other team, that's one way of doing it, is just kicking the ball down there. And I mean, if you can hang it up in the air like a box kick, then you're giving your guys, a box kick is like just a big high kick. It's hanging in the air for like 6 seconds. Everyone can advance. When the guy catches it, he gets nailed. And then you try to turn over the ball. I mean, yeah, so kicking has become very, very important. And grubber kicks too. I mean, finding space. World Rugby have introduced laws too, new rules to encourage that kind of stuff. So 50-22. So if you kick it in your own half behind the 50-meter line and it goes out in their 22-meter line, you get the ball back, even though you kicked it out.
Oh, wow.
So
wow.
It's huge. Kicking's become massive.
So how many years have you played pro?
Pro, I suppose 8 years.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I started when I was like six. But pro,
So where were you before Chicago?
Well, I was in San Diego for 2 years.
Okay.
And then I was in Toronto. And then I was back home in Cork with the local kind of teams there, Munster and stuff. And yeah, then just in college and stuff.
So you've been Major League Rugby
for 6 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I've seen it grow massively over the last 6 years. Like
it's
turned into a serious league. Yeah.
I think it's great. You guys at Geodis Park on Sunday. I know a lot of people that are going to this on Sunday. What equipment do you have? You have a cup, obviously.
No.
No?
Nah, well, no.
I'm out.
You guys have...
No, really?
No cups. No.
Okay, not shoulder pads or any kind of...
Some guys wear, like, small foam pads, but, like, rarely. So but it's a gum shield and a pair of boots. That's it, I swear to God.
This is great.
That you is go amazing. There,
yeah. Your body kind of learns how to deal with it in a sense, you know, over you. You know,
right.
You can kind of wear contact better.
What's the worst injury, Jace, you've had?
I've been okay. I haven't been too bad. Like high ankle sprains and that kind of thing. I know guys who've had some ACLs and MCLs and everything.
Well, I'm told concussions in rugby are almost nil because you learn not to lead with your head.
Oh, yeah. Like tackling technique is massive to avoid that kind of head contact stuff. And where rugby have kind of really clamped down on, you know, trying to be safer around, you know, you can't tackle above here. Like,
right.
You know, you got to keep it all low. And, yeah, it's... No, yeah, you're taught how to tackle from a very young age, yeah.
That is amazing.
Right?
Again, coming up this Sunday at Geodis Park, it is the Guinness Music City Rugby Showdown between the Skipjacks and the Hounds. And right now, we have a pair of VIP tickets in the Premier Club.
What's that number?
To give away. All-inclusive tickets with food and drinks, a meet-and-greet with the players, post-game, and a fast pass for Broadway bars included in the ticket package, 615-737-1025. Caller number five.
What's your number?
Oh, yeah, what is your number?
Nine.
Caller number nine. 615-737-1025. And Dr. Crane will hook you up with those tickets.
You guys got practice today?
No, not today.
How often today. Do you practice?
It's twice a day, like four times a week, and then match day. And some of those practices are just like weights in the gym or kind of light, just kind of walk around, technical stuff. But yeah,
so like
about two hard sessions. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you like hitting each other?
Oh yeah, early on in the week, yeah, you have to just prepare your body for the weekend, but not too much where you're hurting for the weekends.
So. Yeah, I need to know where you guys are hanging out this weekend because I'm not getting to a bar fight with you guys. None of y'all.
No, I would.
Right, I'm good.
I think Old Red is the
okay.
bar this
we'll
weekend.
Avoid okay. Old Red
yes,
then.
All right. Red. No, they're all great lads. We enjoy a good time.
Yeah. Oh man, how much fun do you have? I mean, this is. I mean, you're beaming talking about it. Obviously.
No, it's amazing. I love it. Yeah, it's all the experiences you get all over the world and the people you get to meet and the stories you have, like, it's special. It's a special game. Yeah.
So have you ever had many dealings with the commissioner of Major League Rugby?
No.
Okay, that's probably good. Yes. Well, during doing this, I remembered my cousin. I was like, I think he did something with Major League Rugby. He was the commissioner until 2023, and then he stepped down, and now he's with pickleball or something. But I was like, what a small world.
It is, the rugby world is a small world. Very small.
Your cousin was the commissioner of this league?
Yes.
Does he know him?
No. Well, he just said he hadn't dealt with him. Yeah. No, he worked for the Mavericks for a long time and then went to Major League Rugby.
Now I'm fascinated by you and Jason here. What's going on the show today?
This is going to be a lot of fun. We're excited to have you all here, and thank you for coming by. But stay safe. Good luck.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate
we'll
it.
Go Chicago.
Yeah,
but,
absolutely. Yeah.
Ironically, I'm going to Chicago here soon. But thanks so much for doing this, Jason. Cheers. We appreciate it.
Appreciate your time, too. Thank
Jason Higgins, again, this weekend, the Guinness Music City Rugby Showdown, Geodis Park. It's this Sunday, and we gave away those tickets very, very fast. But check it out at Geodis Park this week, and we'll have more coming here from Bar Lines on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, where we are broadcasting from today at Bar Lines. Wanted to mention our question of the day presented by Aries Tactical. Your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Just check them out at ariestactical.com. And our question of the day, 28 years ago, the tornado hit downtown. This was the 1998 tornado. Unfortunately, another one came through in 2020. Went through East Nashville, hit the stadium that was being built at the time. That's the crazy thing to think about. They were building old Nissan Stadium. Now they're building new Nissan Stadium 28 years later.
Yeah.
It got hit. It delayed it, not by a lot, but a couple of months.
It did. And think about that. 20 years ago, Oilers had not played here. They played their season in Memphis in 97. Yep. The Preds had not played a single game. So you're talking April of 1998. And think of all that's happened and changed in that time. You're now on to, I mean, you got a team that went to the Super Bowl. You got a team that went to the Stanley Cup Final. You're now on their second stadium that's being built over there. So it's crazy how fast time flies. But that one afternoon, that one instant when Nashville was shut down and before we knew all that went on, and it was just a crazy day, man. And, again, one person passed away at Centennial Park. That's one too many. But the devastation and destruction, even Cornelia Fort Airport was destroyed. Planes were ripped up over there.
Where is that?
East Nashville, right by the river.
So does that not exist anymore?
It's Greenway. They do concerts down there, but the hangars are still there. But it ripped off a bunch of planes.
But the airport no longer operates.
Correct.
Because of the tornado?
I think it had a lot to do with, like, we're not going to put a lot of money in there.
Yeah.
I remember going over there, and we got there late. Remember the Opry guy, Mike Snyder?
Yeah.
His plane got flipped up and destroyed over there. And that afternoon, Mike Snyder lost his country accent. He was more like Red Fox that day. He was – because, look, I mean, the tornado – nobody knew this was going to happen. Your tornado comes through. Your plane is destroyed. These hangars are destroyed. You don't know what's going on. Power's out all across town. And then, you know, the TV, I was at Channel 2 at the time, and I was in Hermitage. It comes about there, and it narrowly missed the Hermitage, home of President Andrew Jackson. And I think they took those trees. They got 99 of me guitars out of them. They did something useful for them. But it was it's crazy, man. 28 years ago today, that happened.
615-737-1025. You have me fascinated about this airport now. I didn't know this place existed.
It's great. Take the little boy down there for a walk one afternoon. It's really, really nice. It's around the river.
Boy is a dog. Let's just make that.
He's a good boy, though.
He's a good boy. You said something like that one day, and I got a lot of phone calls.
I mean, I don't know when it started, Cornelia Fort Airport. I don't know when the beginning of that was, but yeah, so now it's like a greenway down there.
It was open, according to the Wikipedia, 1944 until 2011.
Okay. So it stayed open another 13 years. Maybe the flood got to it as well in 2010.
So it's literally, oh, wow. So Shelby Park. Like, that's such a cool picture of, like, the runway.
And I think Cornelia Fort, if the bio's there,
yep.
She was a female pilot and they engaged the Japanese at Pearl Harbor.
Correct.
On that day.
She was, let's see. She was killed. I just had it. It was named in honor of Nashville and Cornelia Fort, the first female pilot to be killed on war duty in American history. So,
a lot of history over there. Should go down there and look at it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. The flood did have a lot to do with it. So, closing it. But, huh, interesting. A lot of history there.
Yeah, you got to drive way back into East Nashville to get down in there. And then literally right across the river is Opry Mills and Opryland. Right there.
Oh, Robbie Stanley did a video of it a few months ago that he just shared with me on YouTube.
What's Robbie Stanley doing out there?
I'm just hanging around.
And that's it? Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, well, now I got to go check this out.
Okay, there you go.
You've
Chase McCabe will be giving a Cornelia Ford Airport tour.
I'm fascinated by airports.
Same.
I'm even more fascinated by, like, closed airports or, like, what airport. Like, I went down a rabbit hole one day reading about Barry Field, you know, which is B&A. That's where you get that.
Right.
Barry Nashville. There's a little trivia for you. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Clark Lee. They're wrapping up spring practice with Vanderbilt. They got the spring game coming up on Saturday over there on campus. We'll talk to the Vanderbilt football coach next here on Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.